This is a great matter. How are we justified? Back home we have a recording, a song recorded by the Good Christian Fellow. He writes songs especially for children about Christian themes, and he has one that is called Big Words That End in Shun. And he uses it phonetically, but he's talking about words that end T-I-O-N, big words in the Bible in particular. We read one in that passage, which is propitiation. We read another, and we come across this other in a number of places, that word justification. In our version, the New King James Bible, justification, the exact word appears three times. It's a little bit later in chapter 4 and then twice in chapter 5. Words that belong with it, to justify or to be justified, are used about 50 times. That in itself should be a signal to us that we need to give it some attention, that we cannot ignore it and we cannot afford to alter it. And I say that because there are too many of these words that are altered and avoided in other translations sometimes, and we must be careful that we don't do that in the church. Sometimes I think the reason why our singer friend wrote that song is that there are words that seem to be big, and very often they do end in shun, T-I-O-N. And words that we don't use so much today. It's not a word you will hear a great deal of, except now and again people will say, well, there's a justification for this or that. Well, perhaps we actually hear it more often than we think. And we know what it means then. But are we careful to use it as the Bible uses it and understand and appreciate what it's all about? That chap Colin, he knew that we cannot afford to lose key words because they carry such deep meaning. And I think when we do look at the meaning of this more carefully, and we can say, I know what it's about, then we can value it more and we can use it. And perhaps not so much the young folk yet, the time will come, I'm sure, in your specialized areas of life, but others who are in have specialized over the years, there are terms that you use that other people won't understand. We had an interesting discussion the other night about induction in an electrical gadget. We didn't know precisely what that meant. One of us went away and looked it up. It means something now. We need to treasure these things and see the value that they give us. These are not used without reason by God's own messengers under the leading of the Spirit. And yes, you say, well, this is in English. Well, it is. It's translating a word in the original language that was used for this purpose. And I want to encourage you, I want you to learn to enjoy justification. Yes, it's the word itself is used just three times, but the theme is running right through the New Testament. I want you to learn to enjoy it. Realize that it is one of these great gifts of God's grace. A better man than I am once preached on justification, saying, you say, let's not talk about justification. It's too hard to understand. I say, he went on, let's talk about it. But let's explain it. Let's understand it, and then know what it means when I talk about it again. You know Neil McMillan, it was his father, a man with a great evangelist's heart, one who spoke to ordinary people, and he said, we need to know justification. And so I'll attempt to lay this out with you this evening. And the first thing I want to do is to just talk about the word justification and these words of the family of justification, to endeavor to explain what that word is about. But then what I'm calling the second part is to deal with being justified, the action. Some of the action has to be drawn in when we're describing the word or understanding, defining the word, but there's more to it than just that I want to expose to you as well. Justification, then. Let's not be afraid of it, this big word that ends in shun. I do think that one of the reasons this variety of the word is used just a few times in the New Testament is because it's a noun. And the others are more verbs. It's talking about something done. The noun is talking about that thing that's been done, but there is, remember, action behind it. And as I say, I'm coming back to look at that more fully in a moment. So what does this word mean? Justification means to be justified. That is, you are justified. That's been applied to you. That is desperately important for us as sinners. To be justified, to be a justified sinner, means that a verdict has been passed to say you are not guilty. As a sinner, you are guilty through and through. But a verdict, the justification says, a verdict has been passed saying, no, you're not guilty. You see, it is a word from the law courts. And it was taken by the New Testament writers because it deals precisely with the situation, our standing in the light of the law of God. Isn't that what was surrounding what Paul is saying there in Romans? He said it also in Acts, as he spoke and preached and explained that it's through Jesus that the forgiveness of sins comes. That wonderful passage in verse 38 of Acts 13. Because he says, only then, only then, through faith in Christ Jesus, only then are those things dealt with that from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The law itself was incapable of justifying men. We cannot be justified by keeping the law. And so we are, as it were, arraigned before God in the court, before God's judgment throne, in the eyes of the law of God. We are guilty because of our sins and our sinfulness. But to be justified means to be acquitted, for that guilt of our sin to be removed. But I want you to also to remember that behind it, when we speak about being justified, see the small word that's within it. It's the word just. When God says you are forgiven, it is not just an arbitrary clearing of your name, not just saying, okay, well, I'll take the sins away and we'll work out some way to deal with them. It is a just judgment. The psalmist knew that in Psalm 51. He confessed his sin truly. He depended on the Lord's mercy in the face of his sin. And he said, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. And this, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. And that will always be the way with God. When he passes a verdict and says, you are justified, you are cleansed, you are forgiven, there is still justice there. It will always be so. And how is that? It is because there is someone else who bears the real penalty for our sins. Justification reminds us of that as well. And that is, of course, the Son of God himself, our Lord Jesus. And so, justification is the acquittal of the guilty. There is therefore also the sense that this brings us into line with what God requires from us. It's not just a forgiveness of what has been done, but it's a cleansing of unrighteousness. It's a taking away of the sinfulness before God's sight. Even if the acts of sin were taken away, but the sinfulness was not taken away, we still could not appear before God. But this is cleansing us of unrighteousness. And so it is that when all of this is applied to us, it has an even further significance. Justification, as righteousness itself also speaks, justification means that we're brought into a right relationship with God. That forgiveness is not just a case of you're forgiven, now go. It's a case of you're forgiven, so now you can come, and I will accept you. If you were to go over to a few chapters later in Romans, a great chapter 8 and a passage, we'll come. I want to come back more fully to that a little later on as well. But there in verse 33, just one example, in Romans 8, he asks the question, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? And his answer, it is God who justifies. In other words, there is no one. Yes, he has a specific person in mind. The devil will attempt to bring a charge. He will try to aggravate and stir up the sense of, well, God cannot forgive me. But who will bring a charge against God's elect? When God justifies, no one has a right. There is no charge left standing. Justifies. God justifies. He makes just. He declares just. So these are the key parts. Think of it then like this. You have committed wrong. You have sinned. And not one of us can deny that. Where next? Because of God's holiness and because of God's law, you must appear in front of him. He is the judge. Christ himself is the judge. You appear in front of him under the charge of transgressing his law. Didn't we read in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and you must answer for that. Can you say anything then in your own defense? No, not one of us can. But then God says, this man has come through faith in Christ. I forgive him. This man is righteous. Now we are friends. There are three parts to that. I forgive, I make him righteous. He is my friend. He is in a relationship with me. Abraham, we read there, it was accounted to him. He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Righteousness was put on him. It was nothing to do with what he achieved. It was given to him, accounted to him, put to his name. And then we also read that God called him his friend, brought together to the Lord. That God clears you of your sins and its guilt, and he regards you as right with him. But remember where that comes from, how that is at all possible. I said a minute ago, it comes through faith in Jesus. That's what we've read several times in these passages. He forgives, he clears, he regards you as right with him for this very solid reason. His judgment isn't just floating away in a breeze. It's applied on Jesus Christ. And that's what I have in mind now by taking it from those definitions, if you like, as to what being justified means. Take it on to the action and to apply it deeper. This action by which we can be justified and what follows from it. What it all means for a believer. To be justified, the action, if I might call it that. I'm trying to lead you to see this not just as a big word, but as a good word, one that you will enjoy using. I have a key. A small thing, a key to the house up the road. That house is big. I take the key and I can go in that door. I could just stand in the door. I could just open the door. But I go in and I go in and I use the house and I enjoy all that that house provides. This is a key The word to justify, justification, is, as it were, a key that it carries so much with it. And we need to take it, we need to hold it. Like a house key, you prize it. And remember that when you have that word, you call that word to mind so that you can turn over again all that it contains. The way the Bible speaks about it and the way, where it's leading us. We have a key in this word. You can recall how you gained that key. You have it there and you say, well, I have something to enjoy. Aren't I thankful that it's been put in my hands? That key of justification. Remember where it comes from. How is it that I'm able to stand right before God? How is it I'm able to enjoy all that it brings with it? Remember what it means. This is so precious. Isn't this absolutely glorious? Why should we have any problem at all with any such words? Even propitiation, it is something absolutely tremendous. Because it takes you back to the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. To rejoice in that. As far as God's concerned, there is no other way. There can be no other justification. But it's done. It is redemption accomplished. Let us turn our thanksgiving. Let us enjoy that recollection, that reminder that such a word brings. Let us remember that this is a sheer gift of God to men. It's God's free grace, His undeserved favor towards us. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. It is all by grace that God has sent His Son to deliver us. Remember we read in Acts chapter 13, verse 39, by Him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. By Him. Is there anything against your name? Sin? Guilt? By Him you are cleared. By Him God declares you righteous. God's Word is the Word that brought this world into being. God's Word that brings salvation amongst men. God's Word declares that the believer is righteous. He makes us righteous by His Word. That righteousness of Christ. That righteousness that satisfies the righteous God of all things. Righteousness that is imputed is a word, accounted, accredited to you, put on your account. In the same way as He takes your sins on His account. Paul said to the Corinthians in the second letter, chapter 5, verse 21, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. It is through faith in Christ that we may receive that declaration. The declaration that the work is done. The Shorter Catechism calls justification an act. It's once for all. It is done. It is done, and it therefore provides us with a lasting confidence before God in the righteousness of Christ. It is, remember, for everyone who believes in Him, in Christ. We see once more, don't we, that that is by faith. Abraham is used as an example. Scripture says Abraham believed God, and it, that belief, just that, nothing else, that was accounted to him for righteousness. And our text, Romans 3:28, a man is justified by faith. Apart from the deeds of the law. Faith and faith only. This is how it comes to us. By the work of Christ, laid hold of by faith. God declares man justified, righteous in his sight. But now take a step ahead. That's how you gain the key. What do you do with the key? What does it open for you? It's there that we find such things as an escape from condemnation. He's cleared your name. If the judge of all the earth will not condemn you, who can? He clears you, he justifies by, on account of his own son's payment of that penalty. And it's out of this that there are these other things that we might also enjoy from being justified. This is what Jesus brings to us. These things specifically in this case. Apart from being made right with God, what more can we want? But there is more with that. There are some things that we can concentrate on when we think of the, as it were, even more wonderful gift of adoption. We're taken not just from a law court and justified and told that we're free to go or to follow in that justification. The believer is also adopted to be the son, the child of that judge. But we'll come to that, God willing, next time. But there are so many ways in which justification is especially the way that we should come to the great blessings that God gives us in Christ Jesus. I mentioned Romans chapter 8, and it's only a couple of pages over. You might care to turn over and to take up from verse 31. Romans 8, verse 31. Just to read a few verses here. If God is for us, who can be against us? What can you say? Justification says God is for you. He's cleansed you. Yes, even me. He's cleansed my sin. It's gone in Christ. And instead of my sin, I have Christ's righteousness. God's righteousness. God is for me. Who then can be against me? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. It's not a petty court. It's not even the Supreme Court of this land. It's God who justifies. No one can bring a charge against God's elect. Not even yourself. And that sensitive conscience. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who then is he who condemns? And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Turn over as well, if you would, to Hebrews. I can't give you the page number offhand, but Hebrews chapter 10. And essentially, this is talking about the same thing. Justified, righteous in the sight of God. Hebrews chapter 10 at verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. What a great reminder this is, that this justification is still, though we have it, it's still not of ourselves. It still depends on he who promised. He is faithful. He will keep it. This boldness to enter the presence of the Lord through the blood of Jesus. We have that boldness because we have righteousness before God. We have an entry opened to us through faith in Christ. What can we enjoy because of justification? Free access before God in Jesus' name. We can have full assurance before God. What did Jesus say? Things are impossible with man, but they're possible with God. You can have full assurance before God. How? Because an evil conscience is removed. No more troubled conscience. Remember I said a moment ago, who is he who condemns? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God justifies. Even your conscience cannot accuse you. And how the devil will ride on that so easily to accuse God's people. But the evil conscience is removed because of the blood of Jesus. There's no more need to be afraid that any accusation, any charge against you will stick. You're justified. There's a confidence of God's free giving of all things. He's given you his Son. He will give you all things, which will all be good. And as Romans 8 finished that little section, no separation from the love of Christ. These are the things that justification brings to us. Why do I say that? Let me remind you again. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. All those things that the law could do nothing about, as we might seek to observe the law in its finest detail, it could not achieve through faith in Christ. You may be justified. What more can we ask for? What things to enjoy? Through justification. It's an important word. It's an important word for every true believer, not just the professionals. There is so much in what, in the end, is not really such a big word after all. We should not be afraid of it, should not skirt around it or anything like it. Another one that is coming is sanctification. This is on the par. It's equally glorious. Instead, let's equip ourselves. Let's understand what God means by these words, what he means us to take hold of, what he means us to enjoy. We must be turning to praise and to thank the Lord for this way of doing things, to enjoy it and to enjoy all that it means, to enjoy not just the dictionary definitions, the theory of it, but to enjoy the action that it brings, the future that it brings. This is what God has enacted and placed in our lives if we come trusting in the Lord Jesus. And so let's live accordingly as those who are justified, with all the benefits that come from it. And one that does flow, which I haven't mentioned yet, but it's the one he justifies, who's also glorified. Paul says in chapter 8, verse 30. And if nothing else convinces you, let that, it's when you're justified that you'll be glorified. Find out, know what it means to be justified. And hold it dear to the glory of God. May he be honored among us and grant his blessing on his word this evening. Let us pray together.